Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is February 15th, 2008, one day after V-Day, or what they appropriately call Valentine's Day. Whatever, now is the time. Happiness for Women Only with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Martha Trowbridge. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, positive psychologist, happiness coach, and author of The Truth. I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything.
Hello, everyone. It's Martha Trowbridge. Good afternoon, Lillian. I write Inspiration for Women in Crisis. And happy Valentine's Day to everyone in the audience.
And I thought it would be really clever to title today's show, Is Happiness the Day After Valentine's Day?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So you mean, does the joy of Valentine's Day continue the next day, or do you mean, are you glad the day's over?
It could be taken either way. Are you so miserable that it's a relief it's the day after Valentine's Day? Or, yes, you had a great day and there's a little bit of glow left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is Valentine's Day all about, Martha? Tell me.
Well, that's a complicated. Now, I seem to recall from earlier years mention of a Saint Valentine. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is
you
it
know
true?
The history at all? I know it has something to do with Christianity, but I don't really know the story.
Oh, dear. Well, it has eventuated into a day in some ways similar to Christmas, but one that is focused upon expressions of love to those we love.
Right. I think it's taken on a very benign, certainly positive capacity within at least the United States culture, and serves a very lovely function for most people. I was in New York yesterday, and I saw, you know, lots of people racing with bouquets of flowers, and some men looking very harried. I saw one man... He had a little container that obviously was some sort of gift. He had flowers in his other hand, and he was racing. I mean, he must have had a clock to meet, or he was going to be in big trouble.
Uh-oh. Did he have a box from the jewelry store?
He had something that looked like it cost at least $10 or maybe $10,000. Who knows? But it was a box, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the train going home, there were some cute young people with big shopping bags that had balloons already blown up, maybe even for like their mothers, you know, just cute things. And the atmosphere was generally very upbeat, which is very sweet.
It is. It's nice when we have these days that remind us of what really matters to us as human beings.
Yes, but you know, they're so charged with what matters, and will I be disappointed by what matters?
Right, the expectations of the needs within us that the holiday is supposed to fill.
And it can just be heart-wrenching. And, you know, we can't always get away from that. So the day is triggered just the way, for many of my clients, Christmas Day. There's all the fond memories of coming down and opening the presents, and then there's all the current issues, maybe being in the middle of a divorce or something, and Christmas is now all charged with who gets the child what part of the day, and it's become very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So we really, as we get older, have to work very hard to keep these days as beneficial as they can be. And, you know, particularly in a culture where most of us are going to separate them out from deep religious significance, we're going to use them more as humanistic days.
Mm-hmm.
And, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So we really do have to work them. They're not easy. We've got to walk our talk, so to speak.
Well, I think we have to work on how we basically feel about ourselves and our lives. And when those things are in order, we're less vulnerable to what happens around us and less needy, less desirous that someone or a group of people from the outside are going to come and make us feel extra special happy on that day. And what I found interesting this year is two of my male friends, both of whom are, one's in his 40s and one's in his 50s, were sad and lonely like you would expect women to be without partners. It was very interesting to work with them, to talk with them and comfort them the past week or so, because they were so sad they didn't have Valentine's.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, yes. There's probably about 85,000 women out there saying, well, what's their name and address? We'll make sure it's different next year.
Well, it's true. You know, and both of these men are incredibly well-educated, well-to-do, handsome, sweethearts. I mean, one of them's looking, well, they're both looking for wives. I probably will get a lot of email.
Right.
They're both, one's on the West Coast and one's on the East Coast. And it is interesting to see that that they feel frustrated that they have not been able to connect with the right woman and be in a serious kind of premarital or marital relationship.
Well, it's something we all yearn for, and I want to bring some humor and maybe a little pathos to this by sharing a secret excerpt, part of it, that goes with my new book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, but the girl has not permitted me to put everything in my little book. You know, she's still watching very carefully what this grown-up shares about her. And there are some vignettes that are unpublished. And one of them, though, we put up, she gave me permission, of course, we put up on my blog for Valentine's Day and in my email newsletter. I don't know if you happen to see it, Martha.
No, today? Okay. Was it came out today?
It came out yesterday.
Oh, no, so, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Okay, so I... this is something that anyone who would like to can write to me at EnchantedSelf, that's one word, EnchantedSelf.com, and I'll get you on the newsletter list and direct you to the blog. But anyway, the little girl is in love, and she's in love with a boy named Paul, who we're not sure where he's at. He certainly seems to be more in outer space than men as they mature. You know, right now he's probably busy with his stamp collections and eating enough potato chips. But she's in love with him. So I'm going to just read a couple of paragraphs because I think it points out how this starts and the extreme feelings.
And they're both around age 10,
is that
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
10
mm-hmm.
going on 11.
Oh, really?
Today was Valentine's Day. I was so worried. Valentine's Day is almost the worst day of the year for me. That's because it can be a terrible day. There's nothing worse in the world than not getting enough Valentines in class. And being in love makes it even worse. All I could think about last night lying in bed was, what if Paul doesn't give me a Valentine? How could I stand it? I was worried all the way to school. I worked all last night on my Valentines. I made one for every kid. I made Paul's just a little tiny bit bigger. Only I would know that I had made his special, so it was my secret. Miss Shannon fixed up the room so pretty. There were hearts pinned up everywhere. She must like Valentine's Day, too. We still had to do all our work, but at 2 o'clock, the class mother dropped off the food, and we started our Valentine party. There was a giant box on the front table with a slot in the top. That's where we all put our Valentines. Angela, Fred, and Stacy got to empty the box and deliver the Valentines. I was getting a lot. I kept staring at Paul. I kept looking at him. He didn't look back. He was just eating. What was he thinking? Everyone was laughing and having a good time. Even Miss Shannon was smiling as she opened all the Valentines that we gave her. I started to open mine. Nothing from Paul. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I was feeling a little sick. My heart was pounding. This was the last envelope. It was from Paul. My life was saved. Guess what it said? Will you be my Valentine? Oh, yes, Paul, I will be your Valentine. The day was perfect.
Now, Barbara, you went to a public grade school?
Yeah.
Elementary school. So was it, now I know I went to a private school run by nuns, and they made us bring Valentines for everyone. We were not allowed to discriminate against other children. So if we had 30 children in the class, mm-hmm. we had to bring, was it not like that in public school?
I think it varied year to year, mm-hmm. you know. I don't, probably in today's world it is mandatory, if they're even allowed to hand out Valentines, that to include everyone.
Might not be PC. But, you know, it does, now as an adult, I can see why that makes sense, because it's devastating for a child to not get them when everybody else is getting them.
But I do remember getting different numbers different years.
Oh.
So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't remember the exact rules around it, but I guess it varied.
And were the boys or the girls more interested in giving the Valentines? Or was it mixed?
I couldn't answer that. My hunch is that the boys went along just like boys had already learned by 8, 9, 10, 11, you better go along with certain girly things. If you want your, you know, you want your cupcake and you want this
right,
and you want
the
that.
Candy. Oh,
right.
So it's an incentive. Well, what memories, giving those times. Did you have those little cutout ones that were different shapes?
Oh, yeah.
Right. And those little Valentine heart candies.
Oh, the candy. With little things on it.
Oh, be mine.
Yeah. Gobble me.
Right. Oh,
oh,
I remember those.
Oh, they were wonderful. I probably still have a few Valentines in the attic.
From childhood. Wow.
I have some childhood stuff I've saved.
That's nice.
I've saved a little doll I made in out of paper and Girl Scouts where we put yarn to make her hair and, you know, we put a little Girl Scout uniform on her. And for some reason, the few times I've gone through my things, I just can't throw out that little doll, you know.
Oh. Well, there's no need to.
No.
But, so, Barbara, what if your day was disappointing or lonely? What about that?
Yeah, it's a tough spot. And again, I think it depends how you decide to treat Valentine's Day. And I think for our listeners, we ought to help them for next year or even the next time they need to be uplifted, that how they can start with themselves from the inside out rather than waiting from the outside in.
Excuse me, and yes, the first question perhaps to ask ourselves is, if we are disappointed by the events of yesterday, how do we think we carry that disappointment forward into today and into tomorrow possibly? Because I think looking at that might help us work our way toward happiness as opposed to festering and just feeling so horrible and so controlled.
Well, I think you're just, what you're saying, words like festering, controlling, you know, having a sense of disappointment. The problem with negative, with having expectations that aren't met, is the mood change within ourselves that then makes us in a situation where we probably are going to need more than is realistic to become happy again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the lower we go, then we have to sort of struggle back, because even one nice compliment or one phone call from the right friend may bring us partway back, you know, but we're still sort of in that sluggish, withdrawn mode.
But what if we could step back and look at ourselves as if we were looking at a girlfriend and just ask ourselves those important questions? Like, what was my need that I didn't get met? And,
right,
you know,
right.
It's general to say Valentine and love, but what was it I was hoping would happen yesterday that didn't happen? And why does that hurt me so much? And why does it cause a depression? And beyond that, what can I do about it so that next year I'm in a much better place emotionally?
Well, let's do a couple of, you know, sort of case study vignettes made up. For example, if you're in a marriage or you have a serious boyfriend, relationship friend, whoever it is, okay, you have certain expectations. Now, my first question would be, does the other person know that you have expectations, and does he or she know what they are?
Right, and Are these expats, that's a very good question. Does your boyfriend or husband or whomever, your
right.
partner, know how much this day means to you?
And if they don't, you darn well better let them know, because I have yet to meet very good mind readers. I'm not, you know, a lot of times they even say psychics are not so good. They just know how to sort of instantly play off a person. So, you know, the capacity to really mind read is a limited art at best.
Mm-hmm.
So
say your partner does know that you would love to get flowers or candy
okay.
or whatever, or be taken to dinner, and he does not or she does not take up that initiative to provide you with that. And what's worse, what if you got a present for your partner and did not receive one in return?
Well, if you're still in the dating stage, sometimes it's hard to clarify everything because you're not close enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you're in the later dating stage where you're already sexually intimate and or you live together or you're married, whatever, you know, a more intimate situation, the less mystery and the more the two of you can clarify, okay, so we're going out tonight. What do you think? Are we going to spend that $100 that we put aside in the jar? No, we're going to go to a McDonald's. You know, we're having a very light meal, McDonald's, pizza, whatever, and we're coming back and we're having a bottle of wine and we're doing, you know, X, Y, Z, which should be very entertaining. So, you know, actually not having the surprise but negotiating what the evening or the day will be would be a lot less hurtful. There may be a little less drama, but you're both on the same page.
Right, and you know, Barbara, listening to you, if money is an issue, which it is for many of
us,
especially
right.
in the winter, you have those extra heating costs
right.
generally and so on, why not start today and put 50 cents or a dollar? I know it sounds silly, but try to put aside 50 cents or a dollar every week so that when Valentine's Day comes next year, and don't touch it, squirrel it away, so that next year you have this little nest egg and you can think about during the year what you'd like to do next year, and you'll have the money there, right there.
Right. I think that's a wonderful idea. And again, you have to work with expectations. There are some women that feel the man has to really carry this day and pay the whole fee and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's just not realistic. There are a lot of young men that don't have an extra $150, say, to, you know, create some sort of illusionary evening that's terrific.
But if you do plan ahead, again, this is part of starting to build a much brighter prospect for next year if this year was dreadful. If you plan ahead, it's so much fun. It's just, you know, people who celebrate Christmas, a lot of people start shopping in January for the next year, and they're able to maintain that sense of wonder all year long.
That's right. And also, if you're saving your, as you suggest, like a piggy bank kind of thing every day, every week, then let's say you don't have a boyfriend next year, you know, or for whatever reasons, maybe there's illness in the family and you have a significant other, but it's not the right year for the two of you to particularly do much with Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But you now have some money and some thought around it. The two of you may decide to save some celebration for 4 months later, or if there isn't a two of you, you've got a little bank account, you may get together with a couple of girlfriends and create a marvelous day or evening out. You know, that I think you make a very valuable point that you haven't given up the power. The
mm-hmm.
power is still going to be with you next year.
Right. And going back, Barbara, to questioning yourself, what is it that hurts so much besides the fact you don't have whatever it is, that physical object, whether it's flowers or chocolates or the dinner date, whatever? What is it about that hurts? And why are you vulnerable to that kind of pain? In other words, you were talking about, say, a long-term relationship or a marriage, and Valentine's Day comes around and you don't have the demonstration of love that you had hoped from
mm-hmm.
your partner. Does it hurt doubly so because maybe your relationship isn't where it needs to be? You know, in other words, try to start looking at why things sting the way they do.
also, I think for there's now we get into a lot of differences between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Men want to please, and they want to be seen in a positive light by their girlfriend or wife, significant other, but they don't necessarily have any capacities or interests in putting on a show. You know, in other words, they would like to, very often if a man just brings home a paycheck, he's not cheating, he's not a drunkard, you know, he's meeting certain standards that he considers noble standards.
Mm-hmm.
He's not interested in saying you look beautiful or, you know, let's sort of put on the candlelight, whatever. These are, a lot of these perceptions around life are very female. There are men that really enjoy them, but a lot of men go along with them rather than really enjoying them.
Well, why do you suppose that's true? Why a man would not enjoy the romance, even if he's been married 10 years, 15 years, and has a whole house full of children?
Well, I think that I'm not sure on this. I'm talking a little bit off the cuff, but I think that, again, it comes from the right places, but women don't understand that men feel that they're doing the best they can all the time, and life is tough, and it's wearing, and it's hard to get up every day and schlep the, you know, to an office and whatever. Things are stressful, and there is... if suddenly the wife sort of wants more because it's 4 or 5 days of the year, like birthday, Valentine's Day, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever it is, it's like why are you suddenly judging me or testing me, and I'm supposed to go through certain ropes now, and now I disappointed you while for 12 years I've taken out life insurance in your name and whatever, and suddenly...
Put out the trash and...
Yeah,
you know, smell the lawn.
Right, and got all sweaty doing, you know, fixing up the basement. And now suddenly, because I didn't think to bring you a dozen roses, you know, I'm like nothing. You're ready to step
You're
on
You're a scoundrel.
Me. Yeah.
You sound like that's what my husband would think and say.
And
but
so,
I still, though, Barbara, I do know men, and this is the type of man many women yearn for, I do
mm-hmm.
know men who are equally invested in the romance and keeping that alive and in telling their wives on a regular basis how much their wives mean to them. And that's a beautiful thing.
There are many types of men,
mm-hmm.
and it is a beautiful thing. But what I'm saying is that sometimes a woman has to work harder to make clear that it isn't threatening. I mean, we just have to deal with what we've got. If you're staying in a marriage, you're staying in a relationship, you know, the man may put up with me having a tantrum for 2 days, the day before I get my period. You know, I mean, everybody's got their price they're paying.
Right.
And that's the way it is. But I think, again, if you talk aloud and you say, you know, I just need that feeling of something special on Valentine's Day, and I need to feel maybe there's a box of chocolates and there's, you know, some balloons or flowers coming in. And the husband or the boyfriend or whatever may say, you know, I didn't think of it. I'm not very good at these things, but, yeah, I'll do it. What's the big deal?
I think that men need to understand that they need to meet their women at least a third of the way.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I think also that we can, so going back, what is the need that we're trying to meet? There is within women a need for closeness and compassion and real communicating that is just such a deep organic need that we can't fulfill on the golf course or in lots of ways that men seem to feel satisfied.
And the need to feel valued, Barbara, to feel appreciated.
Right. And you have to judge, not you, but each woman has to judge, how much of this can I get from my man,
mm-hmm.
and how much do I have to build in for myself,
mm-hmm.
either from myself or from girlfriends or other compatible people. Sometimes even a woman, say, of 40, who's close to an older couple, say, in their 70s or 80s, she may get tons of her needs met through that couple because they know how to love her. Maybe she's the daughter they never had. You know, they get a real kick out of her life and energy at 40-ish compared to where they're at. And they're saying a lot of the things that the husband isn't going to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's flexibility and imagination are very important. Now, in my case, and I don't know what you did yesterday, but my husband and I, we don't even really do anything with the holiday. It's something that we decided years ago that, you know, we feel that we feel very close to each other, and we're usually working and busy, and we don't take this particular day in any particular way. But I went to New York with a girlfriend yesterday, and I think that part of what we did for each other was we fulfilled some of those unmet expectations through girly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fine. I was very happy. I didn't miss it. But then again, my husband and I have mutual expectations.
Well, and also, Barbara, you're at a place in your life where you feel good about yourself and you feel good about your work. So you're less vulnerable to disappointment from a husband or a partner than if you're a woman who generally feels horrible about many different aspects of her life.
Absolutely.
There is a difference.
Oh, I agree completely. But the general rule of thumb that someone may not live up to your dreams for a particular occasion is still just as valid along the whole spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can we say to help women? I think that any woman who didn't have a good day yesterday should still try to honor herself today. And even if you're buying the chocolate box of hearts that are now half price
because
the day after,
right.
I think you should go and buy yourself a box and maybe
guilt-free.
Yes, guilt-free.
And indulge.
Something else that you were desiring. Or start the savings like you're suggesting, Martha. And
give yourself a big hug and say, you know what, you get crazy, I'm thinking of that 70s or 80s expression, I'm okay. I am just a wonderful person, and I love myself. It may sound silly, but it's so important to let yourself know how much you love yourself.
Right, right. Well, you have a lot of wonderful exercises and ways of helping women do that. I think of all my colleagues, nobody has come up with more beautiful, artful ways for a woman to take herself back into loving herself. I have lots of exercises, but they're not as poetic and artistic as Martha's. And
so
I
sweet.
Really, really, and I think that it would be wonderful, Martha, if you can either have on your website or send to me on my blog or do something, maybe one of your artful little pieces that helps women go back into themselves in a positive way. Is there some way you can get something up and then they can find it if they're still recreating a Valentine's Day today or tomorrow?
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I think the quickest, most expeditious way would be for me to email you something that you could put on your blog.
Oh, that'd be great.
Because my website is has been quite neglected, and I'm hoping to get it redesigned.
Okay. If you can do that, then it will be, I will put it up either, if I can, either today, but definitely by Sunday. All I have to do is cut and paste, and you can go to my blog through enchantedself.com. You go on there, and right at the top on the whole row of things like buying my products, who I am, there is a button that you click for my blog. So we will put up one of Martha's heartwarming self-exercises that comes out of one of her books. I don't know whether The Woman You Were Meant to Be or which one you'll pick.
No,
from.
Actually, probably from Wings of Self-Love because
okay.
that's the book that
right.
has a lot of exercise.
Okay, so on that note, we're going to stop for today. So I hope we made you, I hope if you were happy, you enjoyed the show, and if you were not as happy as you should have been the day after, you're a little more hopeful. We gave you some ideas and thoughts. And I'm going to sign off again, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, positive psychologist and happiness coach, and Martha.
And Martha Trowbridge. My website's www.marthatrowbridge.org. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Martha Trowbridge in Happiness for Women Only, the day after Valentine's Day. And if you want to hear this program all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word Archives. Click it. A list of names will appear. Dr. Becker-Holstein's among them. Click on her name, and voila, you will see and hear the audio. And if you want to celebrate Valentine's Day or how to love and honor yourself, well, we have two more weeks of February, so let's go for it. And we will try to have interesting and scintillating Valentine and love thyself stuff for you to use in the rest of the 2 weeks so you can carry it out to the rest of the year and have that heart shape just glow and pulsate over you. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you go away and stray, Balzac has this to say, an unfulfilled vocation drains the color from a woman's entire existence. Thank you very much for listening. Our next scheduled program begins at 3:30 with Holly Campbell and What a Woman Can Do. Thank you very much for joining us and for listening to Happiness for Women Only. And remember, keep listening.